3:23. A beautiful Friday. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Hope it's going to be a good weekend for you. We're the J&J Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Jeremy Warner here. We've got Mike Carpenter filling in for Lonte. You're always here Fridays, but...
Lon's not anymore.
Lon just gets Fridays off because he's a star. Lonte is the star of the show, as we all know.
The namesake.
So we just deal with his divaness. One person who's not a diva, even though you can see him on TV, he was on Chicago Tribune Live last night. He's also the Illini beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune. You can read him at chicagotribune.com and follow him at Twitter at Christopher Hine. Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune joining us. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing all right. Did Long have that in his contract or something like that to get Fridays off? That'd be nice. I want his deal.
I don't know if he does or not, but Lon just sort of...
I think he whines or just stamps and demands it. I want Fridays off.
If he had a contract, he wouldn't read it,
yeah,
I don't think.
Exactly.
No.
That's his wife's job. She's pretty much his agent. Well, Chris, we had you on because you broke the story about Dimitri McKamey inking a one-year deal with the Turkish team Mersin. What did you think about Dimitri going overseas to play in Turkey?
It sounds like, from what his agent told me, that this was, after he didn't get drafted, this was his next best option, essentially. His agent, Roger Montgomery, said, you know, he could have probably been a second-round pick, but teams wanted a guarantee from him that he would play overseas for at least a year before maybe coming back to the NBA. But they kind of felt that's not a good option for Dimitri because that way he's only on one team. But if he goes over to Europe, wasn't drafted, goes over to Europe, plays well, and comes back, any team can sign him. So that was kind of their thinking in having Dimitri go overseas. The other part of the puzzle was with the lockout, there's no summer league right now. So Dimitri doesn't have a chance to prove himself in a summer league. So that's also going with their thinking in having Dimitri play overseas next year.
Chris, you brought up that teams wanted a guarantee that he'd play overseas. So did that pretty much stop him from getting drafted, even though teams thought he might have been a second-round grade? Because I've never heard of an American player that had to guarantee that he was going to go overseas to play for a year.
I had never heard that either. But I guess you could kind of summate from what the agent said that, yeah, he could have been a second-round pick, but they wouldn't give teams this guarantee that he would play overseas, so nobody took a flyer on him. And he didn't get drafted as a result.
Chris, do you see Mike Davis or Mike Tisdale or, I mean, Jeremy Richmond too, I guess, since he's out of school now. Do you see any of those guys following the same path and going to Europe in the imminent future?
I would assume so. I haven't spoken with Mike Davis or Tisdale recently, but it seems like that's their best option as well. And if they can go over there, you know, like Chester Frazier did, you know, and make a good living playing basketball for a few years. There are a lot worse things you could be doing than, you know, playing basketball overseas for a living. And I think they can do it, too. They have the skills to be able to fit in overseas, definitely.
We're talking with Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. He's the Illini beat reporter. Dimitri McKamey signing with Turkey. We heard of that a couple of days ago because of Chris and what he does there at Chicago Tribune. David Lighty signed with an overseas team, I think in Italy as well. And when that came up, I thought, what a great idea for Dimitri because, you know, he tweeted, I think it was a week ago, when you guys wrote something about him possibly going to play in Turkey, that, oh, these rumors aren't true. I'm not going overseas. He seems like he wants to stay here and get that shot at the NBA. And I think you're going to see a lot of kids that want to do that because that's their dream.
Obviously, when you're this close to fulfilling your dream, you don't want to compromise on that dream, and I'm sure it was probably a tough pill for Dimitri to swallow, but based on what his agent said, this seems like it's the best move for him, and so it's just a dream that's deferred for another year, basically.
Well, it seems the safe route, because even if the NBA gets going, and we don't even know if we're going to have a season, but even if it's going in like December or something, and he's got to play in the NBA Developmental League, and he's making $20,000, $30,000, it seems like over in Europe, he'd at least have a better deal, and at least make some decent money to start.
And that probably played into this deal in Turkey as well. I mean, he's making a steady paycheck, and it'll be good money, more money than probably you or I are making, Jeremy. But that's definitely a concern because Lord only knows how long the NBA lockout is going to last. And so it's good that he can at least play, keep honing his skills, keep playing in good competition, and earn some good money as a result of it.
Chris, if there wasn't a lockout as this draft happened last month, do you think that Dimitri would have been drafted? In other words, any non-lockout year where teams would maybe not care as much about money and care as much about, you know, non-guaranteed guys, would he have been drafted?
I would think so. Everything you hear over the last 2 years with Dimitri was that he was a draftable player. But now the financial aspect of the lockout has entered into it, and that definitely played a role in him not getting drafted. I think if you were to take away the lockout, I think, yeah, maybe teams would take a chance on him in the second round. You guys saw the end of that draft. Even the announcers didn't know who the hell teams were taking towards the end of that draft. You know, so when you have a known commodity like Dimitri McKamey or even guys like Ben Hansborough or David Leidy, for that matter, maybe they do get drafted in the second round if there isn't a lockout. Perhaps.
Talking with Chris Hine, Illini beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Chris, you've covered Dimitri here for a couple of years. How do you think he'll handle being overseas? Because obviously he had some, maybe not battles with Bruce Weber, but there was some times where Bruce had to get him on the right track and give his all. Now that he's out on his own, how do you think he'll handle being overseas and playing over in Turkey?
It seemed like he matured during his 4 years here at Illinois, definitely, at least in the way he carried himself and the way he talked as well. It seemed like he had matured, and you hope now that he's kind of on his own and he's not going to always have Bruce Weber looking over his shoulder constantly, that maybe, you know, some of the stuff that Weber taught him these last 4 years has sunk in and will stay with him. But everybody's different. You never know. You're thousands of miles away from home. You never know how you're going to react in a situation like that. But Dimitri's also kind of the guy who doesn't panic. He's very level-headed. He's kind of calm, cool, and collected. So if anybody can handle the stress of playing overseas like that, it's him, because it's kind of in his demeanor to be like that.
And talking about overseas, Myers Leonard just got back from playing with Team USA out in Latvia. I know a bunch of us media got to see him, talk to him, and I know you talked to him on the phone. But did, in your mind, it sounded, in my mind at least, it sounded and it looked like Myers had actually grown up a little bit. And I know it's just him talking to the media one time, but just some of the things he was saying, it seems like he's matured a little bit. Did you kind of get that feeling when you were talking to him, Chris?
Yeah, I do. One thing he said that kind of struck me was some of the advice his coaches gave him overseas was to be a pro. And everything you do, you have to be a pro, whether it's, you know, practicing off the court, you know, go about your job when you're called upon to go in the game. And I think that was a big learning stepping stone for him to overcome. Be a pro. Handle this as your business. This is what you do now. You're getting a scholarship to play basketball, essentially. So you have to make this your job. Make this your work. You have to be a pro. And I think that was a big step for him that he took overseas. On the court, after a rocky start to the tournament, it looked like he got his footing under him and had some nice games there towards the end. Which is big because, you know, obviously there's a lot of expectations on DJ Richardson and Brandon Paul next year, but I would say there's just as much a burden on Myers Leonard to really make a big leap forward next year, because otherwise Illinois is going to be hurting down low.
Besides Myers Leonard, Illinois is obviously going to have some practices this next week during the recruiting dead period where they can practice for the Italy. They get 10 practice sessions before then. What are you most looking forward to? What do you think is the key in the next couple weeks or that Italy trip? What's the one thing you're really looking for out of this team?
It's going to be the dynamic of who's kind of leading out there on the floor, who's going to step up and demand the ball in key situations. That's going to be the biggest thing I think I'll be looking for. With Sam Maniscalco coming in and DJ and Brandon, who's going to take the reins in the final minutes of a game? We probably won't know that until the actual season starts. But for so long, it's always been, you know, Dimitri handles the ball late in the game. Dimitri takes a shot. But now Dimitri's gone, and somebody has to fill that role of, you know, give me the ball when there's a minute to play and the game is tied. Who is that person going to be? We don't really know just yet.
We're talking with Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. And, Chris, I want to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart. It's the Emmy nominations. I know you're big in the Billboard and the TV and movies. Can we get through a break and then come back and have you talk about that? Because you're the best expert I know.
Sure.
All right. We'll be back with Chris Hine. Talk about some of these Emmys. And there's a sports show that's finally maybe getting its due that I know Chris and I both love, and that's Friday Night Lights. We were actually talking about it a little bit before, Chris. I think it's finally time for them to get their due, but we'll talk about that next. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
We're back. It's the Sanjay Show, 93.5, 95.3, New Connect FM. We're still talking with Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune a little bit about the Emmy nominations, because Chris, I mean, we've had Chris on. We can test him on the Billboard charts. And Chris, we're not going to test you today because we're holding you on through the Emmy nominations today. But he's got an impeccable memory, and he should just be, I mean, if the Chicago Tribune wants to get their money's worth out of Chris, they should make him a...
Go in the entertainment department.
Yeah, entertainment critic, right, Chris?
That would be nice. I wouldn't mind writing about TV for a living, too.
Well, and one of the reasons I bring up the Emmy nominations is because Friday Night Lights, it's my favorite show on television. It's really one of the only ones that I always DVR and watch, is finally nominated for Outstanding Drama Series. I mean, fifth season, it's the last season. Do you think they're going to break through and win this one?
Yeah, my heart hopes so, but I've followed the Emmys for a long time, and my head says no. I don't think they're going to pull out a win. I think just getting a nomination after 5 years of being snubbed is their reward. And I think it's going to be tough to bring down Mad Men, because I don't know if you've watched Mad Men, but it's won the Drama Series Emmy Award 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
It's nominated for its fourth season, which was arguably its best season yet. So it's going to be really tough to bring down Mad Men.
Chris, I have the first season.
I would love it.
I have the first season on DVD. Haven't watched it yet.
Of Mad Men?
Yes.
It's okay. It's good. It's good. But I'm Boardwalk Empire all the way. Absolutely loved it.
Chris, do you watch Boardwalk Empire?
Boardwalk Empire was good. Yeah, it was good. I didn't love it. I liked it, and I thought it was very well put together. And that's also nominated for Best Drama Series. But Emmy voters love Mad Men. Or otherwise, it wouldn't have won the last 3 years. That's the one you got to beat. And I think it's an uphill climb at that.
All right, so my Friday Night Lights, Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune joining us. He's a TV expert as well as an Illini expert. Can they at least get one for lead actor in a drama series? Because I think Kyle Chandler, what he does on Friday Night Lights, and with Connie Britton, they obviously play the coach and the coach's wife. Are they finally going to get something here, or is this nomination the same thing?
Again, it's an uphill climb for both of them. If there was any justice in the world, both of them would have multiple Emmys at this point. This is the second year they've both been nominated. In Kyle Chandler's case, he lost last year to Bryan Cranston, who was excellent on Breaking Bad. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that show. But he was a three-time winner. He's out this year because Breaking Bad didn't air any new episodes during the eligibility period. So now there's going to be a new winner in that category, but everybody is expecting that it's going to be John Hamm for Mad Men. And the reason why is because when you're nominated for an Emmy Award, you have to submit a sample episode of your best work from the year. And John Hamm has this one episode of Mad Men that he's probably going to submit called The Suitcase. And it's a big emotional episode where he gets to be drunk and confess all these secrets about himself.
That's unfair.
And do all this showy kind of acting that Emmy voters love. And everybody is picking him to win lead actor. And they're also picking Elizabeth Moss, his co-star, to win lead actress, who's up against Connie Britton this year. That episode is really good for her as well, because she also gets to be drunk and do a lot of crying scenes, do a lot of drunk crying scenes. And that's the kind of stuff that wins you Emmy Awards. It's not the understated, nuanced acting that kind of Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton do on Friday Night Lights. It's that big, showy, emotional stuff. And that one episode, like, you just have to go back and watch that episode of Mad Men and be like, wow, this is like just a two-person play between John Hamm and Elizabeth Moss, and they're both really good in it.
So do they plan that kind of thing, kind of like the Billboard when they release the songs? Do they plan that we got to have that one episode that we can submit to the Emmys?
Yeah, actually, you'd be surprised, but that sometimes goes into writers and producers thinking like, oh, we're going to give somebody a big showcase episode this week, and this is going to be their Emmy tape. And sometimes it actually does figure into their thinking. And I think in the case of Mad Men, that was the episode that it was specifically written to get John Hamm an Emmy Award, because before he never had these kind of showy, flashy episodes. But this one, he does. And if he doesn't win an Emmy this year, he's not going to win one.
Well, and with Friday Night Lights,
best performance.
And with Friday Night Lights, it seems like it's more what they don't say on the show. It seems like it's more just the acting with your eyes and things like that they do than just these showy performances like that.
Exactly. There's also a lot of acting with your eyes in Mad Men, too. There's so much about that show that goes unspoken. But Friday Night Lights is also the same way. And, you know, you never have... you know, big shouting matches between, you know, Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton on that show. They never come home drunk and start throwing things at each other. You know, you never have those kind of scenes between the two of them because they just work so well together naturally. But yeah, I would agree that that's probably hurt, you know, Friday Night Lights Emmy chances, because it's not really that big showy kind of show. It's more understated and nuanced, and a lot is said without being spoken.
I'm looking at comedy series, and I've seen, I've heard Modern Family get a lot of praise, but then I'm seeing Glee, and I'm seeing The Office still, which I've heard from
bad season of The Office.
Fans of The Office really even bad. Say it just wasn't that
Except
good.
Except for the last episode. Last episode of the season was pretty good.
I mean, well, first off, first question I guess would be, is Glee even worthy of being in that, or is that more to just garner a few more viewers in a different demographic? And the second question and then secondly, who would you take in the comedy series in that group?
I would say Glee does not deserve to be there. I watched Glee, and I saw the second season of Glee, and I thought it had its moments, but overall, it just wasn't that good. It doesn't deserve to be there. A show like Community, which I love on NBC, that got snubbed. I would have put Community in Glee's place. I think a lot of people in Hollywood that vote for these like the flashiness, the big-time musical productions of Glee, and I think that's why it's in there. As for The Office, this is Steve Carell's last chance to win an Emmy as well. He's gone 0-for-5 in nominations prior to this year. There seems to be kind of a groundswell to at least give Steve Carell an Emmy award now that he's left the show. So I would expect Steve Carell to win there. But if I had to pick a best comedy winner, my winner this year, far and away, is Parks and Recreation.
Wow.
They had one of the single best seasons of any comedy I've ever seen this year. I don't think it's going to win. I think Modern Family, which is also a very funny show, is going to repeat. But Parks and Recreation had one of the funniest seasons of any comedy I've seen. That includes like Arrested Development. It includes earlier seasons of The Office or 30 Rock. Parks and Recreation was just phenomenal this year.
Wow, all right.
Chris Hine from Chicago Tribune. You can read him at chicagotribune.com. He does cover the Illinois basketball team, even though we're talking about the Emmys. Though you should get a blog.
In my spare time, I cover Illinois basketball,
You need to get a blog and write about this,
seriously.
Chris. I'd read this.
Maybe I should do that.
There. You got any other Emmy predictions for you?
I would say, watch out for Elizabeth Moss and John Hamm. On the drama side, Steve Carell to win. Also, Laura Linney to win Best Comedy Actress, even though her show is not really a comedy. I would love to see Amy Poehler take that, but that's not going to happen. And expect Mad Men to win the drama writing categories for the fourth year in a row. They always win.
All right, that's Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. Chris, one more thing.
Mm.
What's the number one song in the country right now?
It's a Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO.
Is that
spending its second week at number one.
Is that that?
It's an awful song.
Is that where do they just go, oh, is that song? I can't remember what Party Rock Anthem is.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I couldn't. Were you trying to sing there, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was unsuccessful. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not LMFA or whatever.
A for effort.
Well, Chris, I'm from the Chicago Tribune. Hey, thanks for joining us, man. Have a good weekend. I hear you're at a wedding of a buddy.
No problem. Yep. Have a wedding this weekend. Should be a lot of fun.
Well, enjoy yourself, Chris.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Chris.
That's Chris Hine for the Chicago Tribune. And I'm looking down this list for the Emmys, and, you know, Mad Men, I got to see that. I plan on watching that. Dexter, I don't watch that.
I don't like Dexter very much.
I guess because I watch so much sports, I don't watch a lot of shows.
Yeah, I only got a few shows, and most of the ones I watch are on HBO, and, you know, it's. I find it, I was almost getting exhausted listening to Chris because of all the knowledge he had. And think about all the hours of television you'd have to watch.
You consume that.
To have a really good idea of all that he knew.
To be honest, I just don't think Chris sleeps.
Well, you know, honestly, I've heard like Donald Trump doesn't sleep. If I could do one thing, if I could not be
sleep.
Tired,
yeah.
it'd be go. Not sleep, yeah.
Because then you're L-I-V-I-N living
That's
the
right.
whole time. Well, I mean, are any shows out there that I need to watch? I'm trying to think. Maybe our callers can listen to or give us an answer for that. 359-2255, 217-359-2255. Got to get to a break, but we'll be back. It's Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.